Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary hosted by me, Spencer. What are we going to talk about today? Well, we have more four words, but they're not so many F-O-R-E words. They're more F-O-R words, but only some of them are going to actually be using that prefix, I think. So the first word in this episode is forfeit, F-O-R-F-E-I-T, first form, noun from the 14th century. Number one, something forfeited or subject to being forfeited. And examples of those things would be a crime, an offense, or neglect of duty. Have you not done your duty? You're neglecting your duty? Something subject forfeited or subject to being forfeited. Well, we're going to have to learn more about this soon because we got two more forms of forfeit. An example or a synonym for this first definition is the word penalty. This is the thing. You are getting a penalty for the thing that you did. Maybe you did a crime, an offense. You didn't do your duty, and so you are now being penalized. All right, number two. This is forfeiture, especially of civil rights. And I don't think anybody should be forfeiting giving up their civil rights. We worked too hard. Well, I say we as in my forefathers and forefathers of people I know. They worked so hard to have civil rights. They don't want to forfeit them. If we get to that point where people have to forfeit their civil rights, we are going to have some problems here. Number 3A, something deposited and then redeemed on payment of a fine. And the thing that is being deposited would be making a mistake in a game. Let's read this whole thing over again. Something deposited as for making a mistake in a game and then redeemed on payment of a fine. So is this like actually the example where if you do something during a professional game, you forfeit, you give up something, but then when you pay the fine for the thing that you did, like dancing too much, you get that thing back? Well, now let's read 3B, which is plural, forfeits, a game in which forfeits are exacted. I mean, I know that when you go to play a game, if you forfeit the game, maybe you don't have enough team members. Maybe some of them got sick. Maybe they went on a cruise and everybody got ill and they came back and they were like, we can't play the game. We forfeit the game. We don't have enough players. But this one, 3B, a game in which forfeits are exacted. So this is a game called forfeits. Now, wait a minute. You know that I gotta look this up. Just like rackets, is forfeits a game? Did people just literally add the letter S to the end of a word and like, nah, this is now a game? Candies, that's a game. Farts, that's a game. All right, here, forfeit, it's a sport. In various sports, well, no, this is forfeiting the game. That's what we're talking about. But is there a game called forfeits? Let's see. Victorian games forfeits. Forfeits are stunts or actions that a person who has made a mistake or lost a game are required to carry out as punishment. They're usually silly or slightly embarrassing, which is why players want to avoid them. Like, walk around with your pants down. Wow, maybe I'll have to put this link. There's a lot of information about forfeits and games, and I don't even know what all this stuff is. So, yes, Victorian games forfeits. It's historicalgames.neocities.org. That makes me think of GeoCities, which is an old internet thing. All right, so that was all very fascinating. Let's look at the etymology. This is from Anglo-French, forfaire, which means to commit a crime or forfeit. From fors, which means outside. Also, fair, which means to do. So to do something outside if you just do something outside, is that committing a crime? Are crimes committed outside? No, not always. Also from the Latin facere, which I think means to do. So it's like you're doing a thing. This is a funny word. So that was the noun for forfeit. I will make a sound effect before we move on. I'm going to go, huh? The second form of forfeit is a transitive verb from the 14th century. Number one, to lose or lose the right to especially by some error, offense, or crime. I feel like I said that funny. To lose or lose the right to, especially by some error, offense, or crime. You are losing something because of the error that you did. Maybe the error in the game, the offense, the crime that you committed. So you're losing, you are forfeiting the thing, losing it. Whatever that thing is, I don't know, your rights maybe. Number two, to subject to confiscation as a forfeit. Also, the synonyms are abandon and give up. That's what I think I said before. You are giving up a thing. Oh, but I cherished it so much. I cherished that little giraffe toy, but now I have forfeited it because I neglected my duty. Forfeitable is an adjective, and forfeiter is a noun. Okay, now we gotta go. Huh? The third form of forfeit is an adjective from the 14th century. This is forfeited or subject to forfeiture. So you would describe a thing as a forfeit something. It is the thing that has been forfeited or could be used to be forfeited when you are doing your errors and your crimes. Okay, now we got another one. Huh? It's forfeiture. Forfeiture. Noun from the 14th century. Number one, the act of forfeiting, and also the loss of property or money because of a breach of a legal obligation. If you had an obligation that was saying this is the law and you didn't do it, you breached it, you breached the water of the legal obligation, and then you got to give up some stuff, I guess. Number two, something like money or property that is forfeited, and the synonym is penalty. So this is very similar to the first form of forfeit, but instead we're just calling it forfeiture. It's kind of like furniture, but it's forfeiture. It's the furniture that you don't have anymore because you had to give it up when you had to forfeit. Your penalty was to lose your fancy furniture. So it's forfeiture. There's no actual etymology. I just made that up. Could you tell? Probably. Now we have the word forfend. F-O-R-F-E-N-D. Transitive verb from the 14th century. Number 1A is archaic, and the synonym is forbid. I forbid you to go out with your friends. You are not allowed, so I also forfend you. I am defending, I'm forfend. Forfend. There is no etymology for this word, so I'm very curious. 1B is to ward off, and the synonym is prevent. So number 1A is stopping a thing from happening, and number 1B is also stopping a thing from happening, but it's like keeping it away. I am preventing you. I'm warding you away, warding you off. Please, for I'm forfending you, defending my castle. Forfend. This must be related to defend in some way. It must be. Number two, the synonyms are protect and preserve. I am forfending the little animals when the bullies come to throw sticks at them. That's how I got to become friends with a squirrel. There was a little girl who there was some bullies throwing rocks and stuff at a baby, little baby squirrel, and she yelled at them. She was probably like six, and then the squirrel followed her home and it became their pet. She forfended the honor of the squirrel. Huh. Next is foregather. Foregather. I wasn't sure where the emphasis went. Is it foregather or foregather? You can spell this F-O-R, or you can put in the E afterwards. Intransitive verb from 1513. Number one, to come together. And the synonym is assemble. Thunderbolts, foregather. Just, was it a day or two ago, they revealed that the actual name of the Thunderbolts movie is The New Avengers. I saw a video of them showing that, but I wasn't sure if that was the actual name or if it was a thing. Well, I don't know. But it was very, okay. Didn't know it, didn't see it. Are you supposed to have seen it to get this? Because I still haven't seen it. I don't know if I'll get a chance to see it in the theater. I think I even missed the previous Marvel movie. Okay, so the Thunderbolts are for gathering. And now we have number two, to meet someone, usually by chance. Oh, we just happened to foregather. I just happened to run into you here on the street. Fancy meeting you, fancy foregathering you here. Foregather. What is this, gathering beforehand? Gathering completely? Huh. Next we have forge. First form, noun from the 13th century. Number one, a furnace or a shop with its furnace where metal is heated and wrought. And the synonym is smithy. Smithy. So this is the place where the metal is getting heated up and wrought, which is W-R-O-U-G-H-T. I don't actually know what that word means. I know that we have wrought iron fences. It has something to do with heating up the metal and working with it, doing something with it, bending it, flattening it, making it all pointy like a sword. And so you can rot things in the forge. It's the furnace. It's also called a smithy. I mean, there's blacksmiths. Okay, number two, a workshop where wrought iron is produced or where iron is made malleable. And yep, how do you make iron malleable? You gotta heat it. Maybe you, with your breath, you go, I don't think that's gonna heat it up enough. But you can try. You're just gonna get room temperature metal. Maybe not even that. You're gonna get a lot of your breath on the metal. You're gonna have metal breath. So this word is from the Latin, here we go, fabrica, which is from faber, which means smith. I don't know if that's the actual smith or the action of smithing, but that is where this comes from. But there's a break in the connection between fabrica and forge. I feel like we are missing a step there in the middle, but I guess I will never learn. Now we have the second form of forge, which is a verb from the 14th century. We are starting with transitive, 1a, to form as metal by heating and hammering. You are forging the metal in the forge, the action of forging. Heat it up, hammer. Heat it, hammer it. Heat it, hammer it. That's the action of the forging. Number 1b, to form, maybe metal, probably metal, by a mechanical or hydraulic press with or without heat. Ooh, so the hydraulic press doesn't even necessarily need heat. It is so strong. When it's pressing the metal, it creates heat. So maybe that's enough. That's enough heat. And it's just so strong, it's going to squish the metal. That's the only thing I know that a hydraulic press does. It's going to flatten it. If you want flat metal, maybe put it in a hydraulic press. Just grab your press and press. Number two, to make or imitate falsely, especially with intent to defraud. The synonym is counterfeit, as in forge a document, also forge a signature. Now, how did we go from forging metal to forging a signature? To imitate something because you want to defraud. You're like, I'm going to sign this signature because they are not alive anymore and I'm going to take their money. Bloop. Forge a signature. I don't know if I've ever forged a signature. And if I did, I wouldn't tell you. I don't know how this word became doing a thing, imitating falsely. If you know, let me know. Number three, to form or bring into being, especially by expenditure of effort. You are doing something by putting a lot of effort into it, so you are forging it. The example is working to forge party unity. Is this bringing your own party together, your birthday party or your political party? Either way, maybe there's your party is divided into little groups and cliques. You're like, hey, everybody, I want to forge this party together. Do we all like 80s music? Yes. Okay, let's all play 80s music and dance to it. Get all of those cliques mixing and mushing together. And then we got one big party clique. Forge your party. Intransitive is number one, to work at a forge. Gotta go to the forge today. Gotta press some metal and sign other people's names. That's where I work, at that forge, where I'm signing other people's names all day long. Number two, to commit forgery. That's the metal. That's the signature signing one, not the metal making one. Although, I'm going to go commit forgery by making beautiful wrought iron pieces. Forgeability is a noun and forgeable is an adjective. That signature is so forgeable because it's just an X. I can forge Dumbo's signature very easily. I think I got that one down. The third form of forge is it just intransitive? Looks like it's just intransitive from 1611. So this is a whole other verb form. This is going to be something totally different. What is it? Number one, to move forward slowly and steadily, as in the ship forged ahead through heavy seas. The seas were so heavy. What makes the seas heavy? Is the density of the water different, and so it's heavier and it's harder for a ship to get through? Or is it just a lot of storms? Forge ahead! Walk slowly. Number two is to move with a sudden increase of speed and power. Well, that seems like the opposite of the first one. I'm trudging slowly and steadily, or I'm going real fast, I got a sudden increase of speed. The example there is forged into the lead, also forged ahead in marketing the product. Maybe this episode will forge this podcast into the top 10 of podcasts in the world just because it has the word forge. Never. Next, we have forger, noun from the 14th century. Number one, one that forges metal. Also, one that is forging your signature. Number 2A, a person who falsifies, especially a creator of false tales. Oh, you are telling me all these tales, they're not real at all. I don't think the donkey went into the store. This is a false tale. You are such a forger. Oh, you, you're such a forger. Tell me some true tales. Number 2B, a person guilty of forgery. You get that official stamp on your record, forger. I know that there's a stamp. They go, boom, forger. This one's a forger. Telling us about donkeys in stores. Next is forgery. Forgery, noun from 1583. Number one is archaic, and the synonym is invention. Oh, well, this is very interesting. I assume in some form that's connected to, well, we know that the Latin word is fabrica, and that is very similar to fabricating, creating a thing. So I can see how this archaic version of forgery is what a wonderful forgery you created. You invented a thing that will brush your teeth and scratch your head all at the same time. This is a thing that we needed. What a wonderful forgery. Number two, something forged is forgery. Number three, the act of forging, but especially the crime of falsely and fraudulently making or altering a document. An example of the document that would be forged, that is now the forgery, is a check. The crime of doing that is the forgery, and the action of forging the check is forgery. You could probably also call the check forgery. Oh, what wonderful forgery you did there. That is very impressive. When you change the 6 to a 9. There was some forgery in documents in, what was it? What was the name of that show? Better Call Saul. I did not finish that show, but I did see he did some tricky forgery. Did he get in trouble for it? I don't know. I didn't finish watching. Now we have our last word. It is the word forget. This is our last word in this episode. Forget. Me not? That's in the next episode. This is a verb from before the 12th century, and we are starting with transitive. Number 1a, to lose the remembrance of. Also, be unable to think of or recall. And this is what happens to me all the time, and I am honestly a little worried I'm getting the dementia, but maybe it's just me getting older. Also, maybe it's the technology and the phones that is making things a little bit difficult to make my brain work the proper way. And, you know, as long as it's not dementia, it's fine. The example is, I forgot his name. I am so very bad with names. And I'm trying to be better. I think the trick is, first of all, you got to try. You got to actually put some effort into remembering somebody's name. Most of the time, I hear the name and it's just, I hear it and I don't put any effort into putting the face to the name and trying to remember the name. If you put any effort into it, you might remember it. But also, I know people do tricks of like, trying to come up with a visual for the name or connect the face to the name or what does that name remind you of or doing some sort of mnemonic thing to remember the name. And then they also like saying it to yourself a bunch of times. I need to do that. I've been meeting people, you know, sometimes you meet people and I'm like, ooh, gotta be good about the name. I'm trying to remember the names. Okay. And also just everything else about my life. Oh, it's so hard. I am losing the remembrance of. I think that is how I want to say that now. Oh, I have lost the remembrance of that person's name. Famous people. I try and come up with famous people's names, and I forget them all. Okay, now we got number 1B, which is obsolete. We've forgotten it. It's obsolete. This is to cease from doing. So if you are not doing a thing anymore, you can say, I forgot the thing. Number two, to treat with inattention or disregard, as in, forgot their old friends. So this is not that you have lost the remembrance of your old friends. This is that you are not treating them well. You are treating them with disregard or just no attention whatsoever. I feel like I have kind of forgotten my old friends not because of anything that they did. It's because I am busy and they are also busy. I think they would possibly also say, I kind of forgot my old friends. We didn't forget them. We didn't lose the remembrance. we just have our lives and are busy with stuff. And you, when you get to be in your 30s and 40s and older, you need to make extra special effort to hang out with your friends and see them and catch up with them and talk to them and see what's going on and learn about their lives. It's a lot of work when you also have your own jobs and families and projects and stuff. So I don't want to forget them. I feel bad that I have not been so great about that. But also, like, and you get older, maybe sometimes you make other friends and new friends, and there's a lot of people to keep in your life in some way and talk to. So if I have forgotten you, it is not on purpose. It's a two-way street also. So it's always, you know, if they didn't call you, but you didn't call them. So, you know, you're both to blame because you're adults. And this is what happens when you become adult. You forget everything. Number 3A. To disregard intentionally. Oh, we have taken it up a notch. Now it is intentional. The synonym is overlook, which doesn't really feel intentional to me. But this is usually used in the imperative, as in, I shouldn't have said that, so just forget it. Overlook it. Intentionally disregard it. I shouldn't have said that, so just, can we rewind? Can we cut that out? I did not mean to say that thing. That was not the words that I meant to say. It came out weird. I didn't think about the words ahead of time. Can we just forget that I said it? Can we just start over? Hi, I'm Spencer. What's your name? I forgot it. Number 3B. To give up hope for or expectation of. Ooh, to give up hope for. This is usually used in the imperative, again, as in, as for prompt service, forget it. You're not going to get prompt service here. I'm telling you to forget it. That is the imperative version, the imperative way to use this. They're so busy. This restaurant is so busy. Just forget about prompt service. We are here to have a very casual, long thing. Also, we are in another country, and it's just a more casual thing. We could have dinner for 3 hours. So forget about prompt service. Forget about those things that you're used to in America. Just forget all about it. Okay, it is intransitive time. Number 1, to cease remembering or noticing, as in forgive and forget. Sometimes when people do things, you gotta forgive them. But you may not always forget that it happened. But I think the forgiving is the more important part. If you can forgive them, you can move on. And then every once in a while, you can just bring up, remember when you did that thing? Nope, I have ceased to remember that situation. It never happened. Number 2, to fail to become mindful at the proper time, as in, forgot about paying the bill. Whoops-a-daisy, I just forgot to give you money for my food. I was accidentally trying to dine and dash. To fail to become mindful at the proper time. Yes, there is a proper time to pay the bill. I believe once or twice I have maybe almost forgotten to pay the bill. A synonym for the whole thing is the word neglect. Forgetter is a noun that can easily describe me. I can be a forgetter, like, all the time, which is why I have to write everything down. And we have a phrase, forget oneself. This means to lose one's dignity, temper, or self-control. I'm losing my control when I've forgotten myself. Wait, who am I? I don't remember who I am. Oh, I'm Spencer. I have gained control. I feel like there's another part of this phrase that isn't here in the definition. It's sort of in there, but it's like self-control, I guess, would be the closest thing. But I think if you're really in the zone, if you're doing your thing, you're doing your art, whatever it is, you can lose yourself in the moment, forget to eat, forget to go to the bathroom, forget everything, and you forget yourself, and you just are in it. So, is that self-control? I wouldn't say it. Is it dignity? No, I don't think so. It's not temper. So I don't know. I feel like there could have been a little bit more in there, but I don't really know how they would have worded it. To lose one's mind, to lose one's awareness, I don't know, something like that. All right, well, hey, those were all the words, and now I'm going to pick a word of the episode. But first, I shall reread the words to you so you can be reminded and you can also pick a word of the episode. I would appreciate that greatly. We had today forfeit, 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 forfeiture, forfend, foregather, forge, 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 forger, forgery, and forget. And we are going to have a few more forget words in the next episode. I don't know about these. Maybe let's pick, I kind of like that one too. Let's do foregather. Let's do foregather as the word of the episode. Hey, look at you. You're on the street. We're foregathering on the street. I didn't expect to see you here. We're foregathering. Woo. That was fun. Okay. I did not watch a movie yesterday. I believe I am all caught up. What I did do instead yesterday was I went out to Rosemont, Illinois, on Cinco de Mayo to watch a live recording of Doug Benson's podcast, Doug Loves Movies. And it's just a very fun, silly, movie-related thing that's very chill and casual and silly. And it's a long-running podcast, and he gets comedians to go up and play some silly movie games that he makes up. And it was fun. It was a Monday night, so it wasn't very full. And I was chatting with the people around me before the show, and it was a great time. And I got to say hello to Doug after the show and recorded a backwards talking video with him, which is up on my YouTube channel already as we speak. Not now in my time, but in your time, because I'm going to put it up today, probably. Okay. That's it. I have nothing else to tell you. I have forgotten every little detail about my life. So we're going to end the episode. This has been Who? I am Who Am I? I'm Spencer. I'm dispensing information. Goodbye. Huh? If you're thinking about starting a podcast, either by yourself, with a co-host, with guests, audio only, or with video, keep on listening. I started podcasting in early 2019, and for the rare occasions I had on a guest, it was always in person. But once the pandemic came around and everything became remote, using Zencastr really opened up the possibilities of who I could have on as a guest. I've recorded guests using Zencastr everywhere, from just a handful of miles away from me in the Chicago area, all the way to the other side of the world in New Zealand. The video and audio quality are great, especially if they have a decent camera and microphone. And getting the files couldn't be easier. I love that Zencastr records the audio and video to each person's local computer, so the quality isn't lowered because of internet hiccups. It then uploads the footage to the platform during the recording, and when you hit stop, it quickly finishes the upload and processes the files so you can directly download them. The files are even accessible even if something goes wrong. And so, of course, this next part, I will read verbatim from Zencastr because, of course, I couldn't have said it better myself. It's super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of Zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. Have you ever worried what you sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording. It removes those awkward pauses in conversation, too. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with a click of a button. If you have thought about podcasting before and realized that you need a lot of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code WORDNERD, WORDNERD, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experiences like I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story.